Do you think that a frazzled husband should be asked to go into IKEA to pick up something? I don't think a husband on 20 hours of sleep and a full breakfast should be sent into IKEA for something. So I was having to get together, playing some cards with some friends Friday night. We're using the basement, and our couch, it looks like a pack of beavers like attacked it, because like all the surface of it's torn up, and Danielle's like, we need a couch cover. Well, yes, we do. So I'm out, I'm trying to get work done. I'm already 3 hours, you know, behind on my schedule, trying to get done on Friday to get home. And she cleaned the house. I didn't have to do anything. Don't feel bad for me. But she said, can you stop at IKEA and pick up a couch cover? Well, I like IKEAs. I think they're great. And we've made trips to the one in Cincinnati, and they're kind of a cool place to explore and walk around and kind of dream a little and try not to go bankrupt by the end of your journey through both floors. But there's no running in and picking up anything. And so I'm wandering around the couches, and I call Danielle because I'm not seeing couch covers. And I said, Danielle, what couch cover am I supposed to get? Well, she said it's for the Norborg, because IKEA names everything like the Swedish chef talks in Muppet movies. Like, so I don't know my Norborg from my Herberken, and so I'm walking around, and I'm like, I'm not seeing a Norborg. And so I call Danielle, and I'm like, I mean, this is a multi-call deal here. Now, I can go to the grocery store. I can do lots of things. I really can. I'm like, I'm not seeing this. So come to find out, they do sell couch covers, but that's because they sell everything in pieces. So they sell you a couch without skin, and then you pick out your cover. So their covers only fit their couches. So I don't have a Norborg couch. I have a other couch. Coupled with the fact that I grab a cart. Now, they are trying so hard to be the coolest place on the planet that everything is weirder than it's supposed to be. So I pull out a cart. Most carts, just the back two wheels stay in one direction, and then your front wheels turn as God intended, right? So you can push it around like a normal person. All four wheels swivel. So you try to just turn a corner, and it goes. You start drifting because I'm in a hurry, and I can't just navigate this thing. So I'm fighting the thing. I get through there. I realize there's no couch covers that suit our interest. And so then I call Danielle. That's a no-go. Well, then just get some throw pillows. Now, this is outside. This is above my pay grade, you know. I don't pick out, you know, I'm of the theory and of the mindset we already have way too many pillows in our house. But that's beside the point. Most of which are never allowed to have a head on them, mind you. I digress. Well, I forget where I saw the couch, like the throw pillows. And if you've never been in IKEA, it's basically just an endless maze of winding and winding and winding. And they don't give you real maps anymore. They just give you items with numbers attached to them, and you just have to keep track of where you're at. Finally, I see a man in yellow, their uniform color. And I go to him, and I say, I need throw pillows. And I need to get out of here. I'm losing it. And he looked at me. He started to, like, give me directions. I said, no. I said, I need throw pillows, and I need to get out of here. And he saw the look in my eye, and he knew that he needed to rescue me because I was quite anxious. I made it out. I picked out throw pillows that met the approval of my better half, and we survived. Yes, 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 yes. Did I make all of you feel as anxious as at least a little bit as I felt in that place? Great store, you know, but don't send your husband in for a couch cover. Did Thanksgiving sneak up on anybody else? My clock is still wrong in my car. Okay, I'm trying to survive here, and now I've got holidays right around the corner, and Christmas. Tell your neighbor to take a deep breath. Tell your other neighbor to take a deep breath. We are in a series called Fight Song, and we are going through David, King David's playlist. David was a mighty man. He had he has this crazy, amazing story that if you want to check it out, most of it you can get through 1 and 2 Samuel. And with 1 Samuel going up all the way until he would become king, and then 2 Samuel basically tells the story of when he is the king of Israel. And he is still regarded by the Jewish people as one of their greats, and definitely their greatest king. And so we've watched David go through these struggles. So as a boy, he gets anointed to be king. There's already a king, a crazy man. David would have to serve under that king for years, and then King Saul would end up flipping on David and decide that David needed to die. And so then David runs for years, in the process having to leave his wife, Saul's daughter also, his best friend, Saul's son, his mentor, Samuel the prophet. And so he becomes a wanted man and a marked man, and one that most people didn't want to be standing next to anymore, because he was enemy number one of King Saul. So we've been through, we've been in the cave with David. We've been out in the desert with David. There have been a few main themes in this series that I hope you've picked up. The first one can sound depressing at first. There's always another giant. David's reward for defeating Goliath was getting sent to kill 100 Philistines. And on and on and on. That doesn't sound good to us. We think that we should be able to accomplish something and that life should get smoother and smoother. Like, you know, your angst should peak, you know, like in high school when you're just stressed out over who you're sitting next to, who likes you, and all of that. Like, wouldn't that be nice if that was the peak of your life's stress? And then as you move through life, that you could, like, I got that one done. It's just, we're just get the water just gets smoother and smoother and smoother. Now, I don't believe that your life should be full of drama. I believe that as you're moving through, that you should become established in different ways. First of all, that we've been teaching that we want to establish our life on the foundation of Jesus Christ. That's how we engage the process. We keep our feet firmly planted in Jesus, and we keep our hands, just like David, raised in praise to Father God. And we get locked in. That part should get better. We should have more stability in our life. But the enemies, the battles, are going to keep on coming. Have you ever known a great champion that only fought one fight? Absolutely not. And just as the beloved Buckeyes are learning, you can't be the champion without winning almost all, if not all, of your games in a season. Every game is a battle. And so your greatest fighters, Muhammad Ali to whoever else, they became great because they won this big fight. They won another big fight. They won another big fight. Then, oh man, look at this next one coming, right? So you're not going to become a champion winning one fight. So there's always another giant. But the second thing, a theme in this, is that we need to trust the process. Even these battles, not every battle, I believe, is given to us by God, but God uses everything. And so God's providence is the things that are in our life always support his promises. So the things God is using in you are going to get you to where he wants you to go. And most of these things that come our way, we really would rather not go through them. This journey right now with the church, there's an ideal path to this. It's having a lease, saving some money, doing this, picking out this, and then going, you know, kind of scheduling all this out, and then, you know, if you'd asked me how this is, how we were going to get our next building or where we were going to go, no way, you know? I didn't even want to start here, and I kept looking at other places, and this place was offered to us first, and I kept trying to do something else, and God's like, as soon as you're ready, we can get going, you know? God's providence is always support his promises. The third theme of this series is that God gets us. David's playlist is all over the place. He can go from a classical lullaby to screaming heavy metal in a snap. If you read through some of the Psalms, they are these lovely phrases of things, and then he talks about how he hates his enemies and how they all need to die right now, terrible deaths, and God, where are you? And then he finishes with, but I trust you, right? So David would pour out one verse we read said David would pour out his complaints to God. Well, how much do we like people that pour out their complaints to us? We don't like it. And yet God is like, I get you. I want you to share your brokenness with me. I want you to share your needs with me, your concerns. What's going on? How do you feel about your enemies in your life? How do you feel about the things coming up? And so right now, I have to be careful that I pour everything out during this process to God. There's nobody else that can handle what's going on inside of me right now. And so I can give it all to him. He gets me. So if God gets us, and if we can trust him, and if we are in this fight for the long haul, how do we make it through? What does trusting God really look like? The deep breath we all need today is in the Word of God. If you want to go with me, we're going to be out of Psalm 139 today. And this is another one of David's psalms. It opens up with, it says, "For the choir director, a psalm of David." I hope these words just bless you today. "O Lord, you have examined my heart. You know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I'm going to say even before I say it, Lord. You go before me and follow me. You place your hand of blessing on my head. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to understand. I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the grave, you are there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the farthest oceans, even there your hand will guide me and your strength will support me." Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. "I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night, but even in darkness I cannot hide from you. To you the night shines as bright as day. Darkness and light are the same to you. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous." Somebody say, oh yeah, I know. Because David says, how well I know it. "You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of your womb, of my mother's womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed." Listen to this. "How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. And when I wake, you are still with me. O God, if only you would destroy the wicked." I tell you, David will tell God anything. "Get out of my life, you murderers. They blaspheme you. Your enemies misuse your name. O Lord, shouldn't I hate those who hate you? Shouldn't I despise those who oppose you? Yes, I hate them with total hatred, for your enemies are my enemies." Then he always finishes right in a sweet spot. "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life." Is that wonderful? Oh my gosh. God knows us. Have you ever said, and I know you have, nobody really knows me. Nobody really gets me. I wish somebody could understand me. Right? Could you imagine another person just really knowing you? I mean, our closest relationship should get there. But even then, never like fully. Could you imagine somebody just really understanding everything that came out of your mouth? That would be great. Because so many times we don't mean what somebody thinks we mean. Or they're too dumb to pick up what we're trying to get across. You know, it's like, just get me. Right? Man. They would have access to every thought, action, mistake, and secret. That's exactly the picture of God in Psalm 139. Why is that a bit frightening to us and not just comforting? Right? I mean, that concept frightens us a little bit too, right? Like, we want somebody to get us, but at the same time, like, if that means really knowing everything, then God, David uses six terms to describe how God knows us. Number one, he says, God has searched me. This is an intense searching. God, you have dug deep out, down into my life. Picture missing like your wedding ring, or picture a $100 bill like falling out. Like, you would search for it, right? You would dig for it. You would search. And so that's what David is describing God. He's describing God as somebody that would look inside of us like that. Like, I want to find something. David said, he knows me. Not just something about me. I know something about just about everybody in this building, I think. I know something. But then how does that measure in different levels? Depending, it would depend on our relationships, right? And so even as you move through life, you've got people that really know you, right? And it's wonderful to be known. And it's even wonderful for some people just to know some things about you. It's fun when you just know what somebody likes. That's just great. Like, it gives you a platform to connect with. Burl and I will talk about movies all day long. I love knowing that he likes movies, because I do too, and we just can connect on that. Number three, it says, he understands my thoughts. You perceive my thoughts from afar. God can get inside my head. He knows what's going on in here. Can be scary. David also describes it, says, he comprehends my comings and my goings. Another translation says, you scrutinize my path. So picture, I like spy movies and like Sherlock Holmes stories and things like that. And you can just picture the detective just scrutinizing a crime scene, or scrutinizing a letter, scrutinizing a person, right? I mean, I always love those parts of like Sherlock Holmes stories where he just rattles off like 50 facts about the person that he hasn't told him, but he can tell just from looking at him. He scrutinizes our path. He knows where we've come from, and he knows where we're going. This is similar. He is familiar with all my ways. In the Hebrew, it's a bit stronger. A loose translation would be, I can't get away with anything. Now, that's frustrating as a child, and it's frustrating as an adult, because you like to get away with some stuff. But one thing I've noticed, and especially in the story of David, when he would fail, and I mean, he commits adultery. I mean, he's famous for his largest failure. God always has the grace to forgive him, of course. But even as we shared a couple weeks ago, when David cut off the corner of Saul's robe in the cave, it says that David all of a sudden had basically a conscience moment. Like, his spirit was so sensitive to God's that he basically was not allowed to get away with anything. And David had put himself in that position as a choice. And we all have the same choice. Do you want to get so close to God that you feel a bit of pain when you go out of line? That's really one of the worst feelings ever, is to know you've hurt somebody you've cared about, right? That's like, you can't unhurt somebody, right? And so even with grace and forgiveness, like, I just feel terrible. And so that feeling terrible about sin only comes through relationship with him. And so some people are like, well, I'd rather not feel bad about anything, so I'm just going to stay at a distance. That's where a lot of people camp out. So it's like, I'm going to know just a little bit so I can just give a little bit. I'm going to stop murdering and, you know, and throwing rocks at people on the freeway and, you know, all these things. And maybe keep my middle finger actually inside with the rest of the fingers while I'm driving and things like that. Like, I'm going to tone it down some, but I really don't want God to really have much to say about everything I do. That's where we tend to want to be out there. David gave God his whole heart. And David still made mistakes, but when he did, he would just crumble once he realized his error. And then he would go right back into intimacy with God. Still consequences in many cases from those mistakes, just we all, that's part of life. But I love that David didn't stay away from his father, right? That's just, it reminds me of something in youth ministry. We could always tell when kids were in trouble because they'd stop coming around. Sometimes kids would get distracted and move along, but the ones you were in relationship with, like close enough to where you would actually speak correction and hold them accountable, they'd disappear. Why? Because they wanted to stay in their sin. So it's something you'll notice, you know, and we're the same way with God. How about this? He knows my words before they're on my tongue. What? He knew I was going to tell a stupid story about IKEA today? Even before I speak a word, God knows what I'm going to say. God knows so much about us. It says in Matthew 10:30 that he knows how many hairs are on my head. How about at the same time we all like pull a few and see if he can keep up? He can. God is all-knowing. And in verse 6, David says, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's too lofty for me to attain. I can't wrap my mind around that. Because even if I come close to understanding how God sees me, then I multiply that times billions and, okay, mind blown again. You know, I don't get this. David is blown away by how well God knows him. Can we hide from God? And I would say if you're hiding from somebody, that means you're not wanting to be found, like you're in the wrong. But I would say this on the other side is that could you ever be in a place where God really doesn't see you? No. David asks, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? He answers the question himself. Up, down, east, west. I can't get away, and I could never end up in a place where God couldn't see me. No, says David, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. How about just darkness? Could you get into a place so dark that God wouldn't be able to find you? The verse says that darkness is like the day to God. Why? Because he is light. He's life. He's eternally bright. And he sees us no matter where we are at. Verses 13 through 18, some of the most precious in Scripture. David says, even before my mom gave birth to me, you were there. So far, David has said, you search me, you discern me, you are familiar with me, you know me, and wherever could I go to escape you? For a child of God, this should be comforting thoughts. For the faithful child of God, the thought is not frightening, but comforting. As you yield your life to God, you don't mind him nosing around in here and here anymore. Because you want to deal with whatever he shares with you. When he says, Adam, you really were unkind. Man, I snapped at a drive-thru the other day. Like, I gotta get through this. I pulled through. I'll tell you another funny story. Just so you guys can, if you guys don't know, I'm human. I'm human. So I go through. I'm coming back from Marion from a job, and I usually don't do McDonald's, but I'm trying to stay moving. This is before the couch escapade, before the Norborg and the Nerfberken and all that Norsken Borsken, and I love the Swedish Chef, but I don't like IKEA right now. So I'm trying to make time. I go through McDonald's. I kind of think what I'm going to get. As one comedian says, the menu doesn't change. You know, why do people stand and look at the menu at McDonald's? But I get there, and it actually did. They got this beautiful picture of a mushroom Swiss sandwich. And I'm like, ooh. So I order it. Well, that apparently, like, they can't make that as fast as everything else. So they asked me to park over here. And they're bringing other people out food that they apparently can't make fast either. And I'm sitting there 5 minutes, 6 minutes, 7 minutes. I'm like, I don't think I'm getting my beautiful Swiss mushroom sandwich. And so I go in, and I said something I didn't need to say. I wasn't entirely mean, but I said, they give me the bag, and then I'd ask for it on chicken, and it ended up being on beef. And I'm like, you can't even make it right 10 minutes later. You know, it's like, and I walked out of there. I start driving. I'm like, did that make you feel better, big guy? Oh. What a jerk. But honestly, there would have been a time in my life where I wouldn't have, that regret wouldn't have come to surface. That's what we give God permission to do the closer we get to him, right? That's what I'm talking about. Verses 23 and 24 are where we want to land today. Because David invites God to search him even more. That is mind-blowing if you think about it. Because you are asking God, who is perfectly holy, to look for trouble and imperfections in you. Guess what he can find if he looks inside of you? He can find more imperfections. And it's like, and those are not fun to deal with. Like, it's like, at a certain point, I just want to say, this is me. I can be a jerk at times, but I'm a pretty nice guy most of all. Just, I'm good. Leave me alone. You know, just, I'm pretty good. David wants those imperfections to be taken out of his soul. David is saying, search me even more, dig deeper, show me if there's anything that doesn't please you, that carries me away from fellowship with you so that I can put it right. The only way David could pray that prayer is because David has complete confidence in God's grace. If God was really the bully in heaven waiting to punish us for every little thing we do wrong, you surely wouldn't ask him to look around a little more, would you? Because what does he really want to do with the imperfections in our life? Does he want to punish us for them? If he really just wanted to punish all of us, he wouldn't have sent a Savior, because we all would have just gotten the death that we deserve. He really doesn't want to punish our sin. He has to and will because he's holy. And I had a Facebook discussion this week about that. He's holy. Sin can't stand in his presence. It will be dealt with. And so either you have him deal with it as a punishment, or you put the blood of Jesus between you and that punishment, and you're forgiven It's wonderful. But David has complete confidence in God's grace. Search me and know my heart could only be spoken by someone who feels completely loved and completely accepted. Isn't that wonderful? Search me and know my heart could only be spoken by someone who feels completely loved and accepted. So David knows a couple things here. He knows that God can find more imperfections in him. So it's kind of like your kid when they're like, you know, is your room clean? Yeah. You want to check? Well, don't look too close, you know. But like when they're really proud of it, it's like, you know, look around. I can go now, you know. Don't look over there, you know. But like when you feel good about something, you're like, check it out. We just sold a car. I made it look better than it ever looked when I owned it, of course. I'm like, check it out. This thing's great. Look at the back seat. There's no more French fries jammed between the seat buckles, you know. Look at it. But David knows that God is going to find something. And yet he still asks him to because he knows that God truly loves him and truly accepts him with all of his faults. And not just accepts him, but wants to heal those faults, wants to repair damage that's brought that to be, and wants to fix these patterns of sin. They could only be spoken to one who unconditionally loves the person he is watching. God knows every square inch of me, my successes, my failures, my strengths, my weaknesses, how both holy and unholy I can be, yet he never withholds his love for me. We can breathe because God is telling us today, I see you, I know you, and I love you. Or you could even say, I see all of you, and I still love you, right? David endures fight after fight because he knows where the real battle is. Anxiety is when we worry about all of the things we can't control. And friends, that got doubled like in my life this week. It's crazy. Like I can't control these estimates that are out there and these inspections and how exactly this is going to go. I don't know our last Sunday in this building yet. I mean, I'm out there, you know. Like, and there was a phrase in a movie that I heard recently. A guy was going to be sentenced, I think to death in the thing. And his lawyer said, he goes, are you worried about the sentence coming? And the guy looks at him and says, would it help? Because this guy's like just this, like not like he's like, I don't care that it's happening, but like he didn't seem anxious. And the lawyer's just like, Why aren't you worried? Would it help? Well, that's good. Why do I worry? It is so easy to keep our eyes on everyone and everything else around us. David knew that the real battle is within. David had no shortage of enemies. He had no shortage of concerns. And yet he finishes this song with search me. Wow. He knew that the anxiety, that anything, anything like that was because of something wrong in his heart. There's a crazy world around us. People are going to hurt us. Stuff can happen. We can lose the current church building. We can be not entirely sure of where we're going next. You can be concerned about how to buy Christmas presents next month. You can be worried about someone who's sick in your family. You can. Will it help? And so this last message today is called Breathe. David made it from front to back, being known as somebody who would be so close to the heart of God because David could just I've got 3,000 men outside this cave that want to kill me. God, you got to do it. God, I'm a boy, and You want me to fight that big thing out there, swinging a spear around? God, you want me to rule your people? Wow. Can we pray this morning? Just close your eyes. We've been talking about David's playlist. I want to read to you the words from his number one hit single. David wrote a lot of great songs. But every great band, every great singer, they always have the one song that you always better hear if you see them in concert. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. As children of God, that is our fight song. It's not about what we can do. It's about God leading, and it's about us following. He guides us. He protects us. He loves us. If you've never chosen to follow Jesus, if you've never asked him to forgive you for your sin, and you'd like to today, would you raise your hand? I want to pray with you. And I think many of you in this room are just like me. We need to breathe. We need that deep breath that doesn't fill our lungs but fills our soul. And when we exhale, anxiety leaves. And when we inhale, peace comes in. That's the breath I'm talking about. And if you haven't been breathing that way, then you're going to be yelling at McDonald's people. You're going to be freaking out in IKEAs and whatever else is going on in your life. Father God, would you breathe through us? Father God, would we receive your peace today, and we surrender our anxiety, which is just a pretty word for not trusting you. Would we receive your peace today? And would we yield our worry to you today? And breathe. Around this room, receive the touch from the Holy Spirit this morning. Let him minister to you. You should feel a change in your spirit at your very core. Receive it. Receive it. The giant's still out there. The 3,000 men are still outside the cave. But God wants to change your heart. And breathe. Can we stand and worship this morning?